We have the schus today to begin Masechta Bava Kama, begin Seder Nezikin. Many Mefarshim suggest that actually, as we're going to be learning now, the three Masechtas that we're going to be learning on Masechta Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Mitzvashem, Gezunta Hait, that actually many suggest that they are really one Masechta, but then they were divided into three groups. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. And the reason, as we will discuss, Bava Kama comes first, because Bava Kama speaks about avoiding doing damage to someone else. And of course, that's our first obligation, not to do and hurt anyone else. Bava Kama also, the Babas represent, I saw the Mefarshim suggest, Sha'orim, gates. These are the gates to learning Torah, the Chochmas HaTorah, the brilliance that there is in Torah, most evident in these Masechtas. And we know that the Pasuk says, V'hoyez emunas itecha choysin shuus chokma v'das. Emunas is say the zroim, itecha is say the moyed, choysin is say the noshim, yeshuus is say the nazikin, chokmas is say the kotshim, and das is say the taharis. And that's the order that we follow. And Baruch Hashem, we've learned the Gemara that there is on Seder Zroim, Seder Moed, Seder Noshim, and therefore now we're up to Yeshuas, which is Seder Nezikin, the Tosfos Yontiv, and this is based on the Gemara, and Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. But interesting to point out that the Tosfos Yontiv says that there are a different source to the Shisha Sedarim. They connect it to Taras Hashem Tamima. The words in the pasuk Taras Hashem Tamima, Mishpatei Hashem Emes Tzadku Yachtov, and Mishpatei Hashem Emes refers to Seder Nezikin. If that were the case, says the Taras Tamima, Seder Nezikin should be the last of the Sedarim, not the Seder that we're learning now after Seder Noshim. So the Taras Tamima suggests it depends on what is the situation on Klal Yisrael. In the time of Dovid HaMelech, where Dovid HaMelech wrote the Pasuk of Taras Hashem Tamima, Mishivas Nefesh, Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, and they lived in a world where Kotshim and Taharis were important. And on the other hand, people were very careful about how they acted one towards the other. And because they were so careful about how they acted one towards the other, they weren't so concerned with Nezikin. Nowadays, unfortunately, Kotshim and Taharis are unfortunately not that relevant. We don't live in a world of a Beis HaMikdash. We don't live in a world where people are careful with Taharis. But on the other hand, we do live in a world where people get into disputes and people do damage to each other. The Rambam, and therefore we learn Nezikin before Seid Kotshim and Taharis. The Rambam, in the Psicha, the Parash of Mishnayis, says the reason why we learn Bava Kama, when we begin learning Seder Nezikin, we begin with Masechta Bava Kama. He says, because Eina Shoifet, Rishoyim Lahagdim Dover, Koidim Shiyosar Hezekim Ne Adam. The Shoifet's primary and first responsibility is to make sure that there's no damage, people aren't doing damage to each other, that there are no things that could cause damage to the world. And in fact, the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kuf Ayin Hey Yom Beis says, "Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Haroitzer Shiyachim. If somebody wants to become a Talmud Chacham, Yasek B'Dine Mamanis, he should learn the Masechtas that refer to financial issues. Shein Lacham Ktzoy B'Tayra. There is no subject in all of Tayra Gadol Mehem, greater. V'Hem Kamayin Hamayneveya, constantly springing forth." Chochma, knowledge. And in our Gemara, Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Hai man, the boy, Lemevich Sida, if somebody wants to be a chassid, somebody wants to be a righteous person, Lekayim, Mila, the Nezikin. And the Ein El Yor, the Gra, actually says that by learning Seder Nezikin, by learning Masechta Bava Kama, that is the best way, he says, of avoiding damaging other people or being damaged. The Chassam Sofer in the Drashas says of Chas V'Shalom that there is in Shemayim a gzeira, a decree against somebody. He says, learning Seid and Azikin, which we just learned, corresponds to Yeshuas. That's the way that the person, if Chas V'Shalom, there's some sort of a gzeira against them, can have that gzeira removed. And in fact, if somebody, as he learns these Masechtas, I saw the Mefarshim explain, thinks about the various situations that Chas V'Shalom, he might have done damage or could do damage, or be the victim of damage, learning these Masechtas, then learning these Masechtas is a school up that you will never do damage or be damaged. And as the Gra says, when we think about, say, the Yeshuas, we will be Zaycha, says the Gra, to a Tshua Olamis. The Gra says that by learning, say, the Nazikin, we all are waiting for Yeshua. Everybody is waiting for Yeshua individually. People, Klal Yisrael is waiting for Yeshua. The Yeshua, says the Gra, will come through learning Seid and Nezikin, Nezikin, Yeshua's Zayn Zikin. And in fact, I saw that the Cheshukei Chemed suggests that there are going to be so many halachas that we're going to be learning in the coming months, all based on Masechtas Seid and Nezikin. But if somebody, for example, is learning Choshen Mishpat, says the Cheshukei Chemed, based on the Rambam that we just spoke about, that a person's first obligation is to learn halachas that will teach him how to prevent doing damage because it's such a serious issue. So as we speak about, and we're going to learn in a moment, the Masechta beginning, the Perek beginning, the Mishnah beginning, with not doing damage to someone else. And the question is, what is the Isser when you do damage to someone else? So the Torah, Echoy Shem Mishpat, Simen Shin Ayin Ches, says, Keshem She'osu Lignoiv Ulgoz Ligzol Mamun Chaveray, just like one may not steal from someone else, Kach Osu L'Hazak Mamun Shaloi, you're not allowed to do damage. So in other words, the Torah is saying that the basis for the Isser of doing damage to someone else is the Pasuk of Loi Sigzol. The Ramah says the basis of the Pasuk is Lifnei Lo Sitei Michshol. Because we always explain that Lifnei Lo Sitei Michshol means that you may not cause someone else to do an Aveira, which of course is true. But there's another explanation to Lifnei Lo Sitei Michshol, and that's the simple explanation of Lifnei Lo Sitei Michshol. Lifnei Lo Sitei Michshol means don't put a stumbling block in front of someone that person could get hurt because of your stumbling block. And that means that you may not cause somebody damage. The Rama also continues to say that when somebody, Chas V'Shalom, damages someone else, he violates the mitzvah say of a haftal reacha kamaycha. You wouldn't want to be damaged, so too you should not be damaged. Other Achroinim, the Chalkas Yaakov and the Rishus, says that the Isser is based, that we know that if somebody loses something, we have to return it. So if somebody loses something, we must return it. Certainly, we have to make that somebody shouldn't lose something. And when you hurt somebody or you cause damage to somebody, then you're causing him to take a loss. Says Reb Chaim Brisker that everything that we've learned, all these sources that we just quoted, only speak about the Isser involved, why we may not damage, or something that we own may not do damage. But what is the source, says Reb Chaim Brisker, as we're going to be learning, that we have an obligation to watch what we own doesn't do damage? So says Reb Chaim Brisker, the Torah says that if somebody's animal does damage, a pasuk we're going to be discussing often in our Masechta, and the pasuk says, "V'lo yishmerenu balof." V'lo yishmerenu balof means that you didn't watch that what you own didn't do damage. So you see that we have an obligation, says Reb Chaim Brisker, to make sure that something that we own doesn't cause damage. The Reb Shimon Shkop, in his first piece here in the Chedusha Reb Shimon, on Masechta Baba Kama, Reb Zalman, in the Evan Ezel, tried to understand this halacha that we're not allowed to cause damage if something we own causes damage. We're obligated to pay, as we're going to learn the circumstances. They try to understand what is the basis for the obligation to pay. Is it based on I didn't follow what I'm supposed to do? As we just learned, Reb Chaim Brisker just taught us, we have an obligation to make sure what we own doesn't do damage. And if we didn't do what we were supposed to do, that's why we're responsible. Or there's a different halacha, that if we or what we own causes damage, then we are responsible to pay for the damage we did. What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be if we watched, but it still did damage. If the halacha is that our obligation to pay is based on our lack of watching, so here we watched. But if our obligation is based on our object or ourselves doing damage, that doesn't make a difference if we watched or not. It could be we would be under certain circumstances chayiv. In other words, as we get into the Masechta, the question that we're going to need to study is if somebody was an oinus, something happened beyond his control, when will there be an obligation? When will be the obligation to pay for that damage? And when will there not be an obligation to pay? So says the Mishnah, Arbavos Nazikin, the Torah speaks about, as we'll see, others are the cases that the Torah mentions. And Arbavos Nazikin, there are four cases of Nazikin. Hashor, if somebody's animal did damage. And we're going to learn in the Gemara that according to Rav, Shor includes Keren, when an animal did damage with the horn, its horns. Shane, when it ate produce or some ate or did damage with eating. And Regal is when it was walking and it did damage. Habor, if somebody digs a pit and the animal falls into the pit, you're responsible. Hamaver, we're going to learn a machloikis. According to Rav, it means Odom HaMazik, if a person does damage. According to Shmuel, it's Shane that we just discussed. Because according to Shmuel, when the Mishnah said Shor, it means Regel. The Hever, and if you made a fire. So, the Rishonim ask, why does the Mishnah use the word Arba Ovis Nazikin? Shouldn't the Mishnah have used the word Arba Ovis Mazikin, that they cause damage? So the Miri says that the reason the Mishnah used the word Nezikin is very much connected to what we just discussed. If the Mishnah would have used, he says, the word Mazikin, it would mean that only when what I owned or I deliberately caused damage. But what would be halacha if I didn't deliberately cause damage, but I caused damage anyway? So will I be held responsible or not? So says the Meiri, the Mishnah uses the word Nezikin to teach us it doesn't have to be a mazik. Even if it wasn't a deliberate mazik, you're still going to be responsible. Tosfos asks that in Shas, sometimes when the Mishnah gives us a list, the Mishnah says the word hein. Here, we find that the Mishnah just says Arba Ovis Nezikin, but it doesn't use the word hein. So Tosfos says that there's really no hard and fast rule. Sometimes the Mishnah does use the word hein, sometimes it doesn't. But then Tosfos wants to suggest that the word hein is used when the four things are, everything in the list is completely similar. But as we're going to learn in our Mishnah now, the various mazikin that are mentioned in the Mishnah are not all the same. And since they're not all the same, then that's why the Mishnah doesn't use the word hain. Another pshat that I saw is that the word hain is used when you wanted to, when you want this to happen. Obviously, as we speak about Arba Avos Nezikin, we don't want damage to happen. And since we don't want damage to happen, the Mishnah didn't use the word hain. The Al-Sheikh says that the Arba Avos Nezikin that are mentioned in our Mishnah represent the four Goliaths that Klal Yisrael is suffering from. He says Shor represents Bavel, because Nebuchadnezzar had a deliberate intention to cause Klal Yisrael to suffer. Bor represents Madai, Haman and Achashverosh. The Gemara, Masechet Megillah, Daf Yudal Raman Aleph, mentions a discussion that happened between Haman and Achashverosh about somebody who had a pit and somebody had a mound, and they're going to fill the pit with that mound. Klal Yisrael was a problem that Haman and Achashverosh felt that they had to deal with. Another Hamava, says the Al-Sheikh, represents Yovan, that when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the Mava, as we're going to learn, means to uncover. They went into the Beis HaMikdash and they uncovered, they exposed the Beis HaMikdash. And Hever represents Edoim, which burnt the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, the Pishta continues, Kishihizik, Chav HaMazik, L'Shlumei Tefer Nezek. What's going to happen is that all of these Umas HaOlam have caused terrible destruction to Klal Yisrael. But the Mishnah teaches us that they will all be paid. And we will get Meitav Haaretz. We will be brought to Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh B'meher B'yameinu. But the Chasam Sofer has just the opposite approach to how to explain our Mishnah, our Pidrush. As we saw, the Al-Sheikh explains the Mishnah that the Arba Avos Nezikin represent Koiches HaTuma. He says they represent Koich HaTara. Shor is how a person is supposed to learn Torah, Kishor La'ol, take upon himself the yoke of learning Torah. Bor is water, Torah Nimshal L'Chaim, the Ber Maim Chaim. Mava, as we just said, is to expose. It is the obligation of Talmidei Chachamim to expose Chidushei Torah. Forever represents, he says, the Pasuk says, Oyavov, those love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ketzeis HaShemesh, like the sun, Klal Yisrael, who learn the Torah, are considered like those who learned the Torah. The Baal Shem says that there are four midos, the four characteristics that cause a person to do the wrong thing. Shor means to see. A person is not supposed to look what he's not supposed to look at. Bor is empty. A person is supposed to fill himself up with Torah and Yerushalayim. Hamava is eating, as we've been saying, shein. A person who's consumed but by eating. Vahever is fire, which represents kas. And the Mishnah is teaching us that those are the mezikin, that says the Baal Shem. A person has to be thinking about what causes him to do a virus. And those are the mezikin that cause a person to do a virus. Along the same approach, the Yaris Dvash says that the mazikim that are mentioned in our Mishnah represent the various averis that we find in our history that caused us incredible tzaras. Shor is the aver of the eagle. The bar is when the shvatim threw Yosef into the pit. Mava represents when Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Adas. And Hever is the meraglim that said terrible Lashon Hara caused the fire to burn in Klal Yisrael. And these are the mazikin, says the Yaris Dvash, that we all have the obligation to stay away from. So the Mishnah now begins to explain why is it necessary for the Torah to have mentioned each one of the mazikim separately. Couldn't have we just mentioned, perhaps, as we're going to explain, some of the mazikim, and therefore the other mazikim could have been learned from them. So Taisus asks the question, there's a halacha that ain't unshimenadin, that even if logically we could say that somebody did an aveira, he deserves to get a certain punishment, ain't unshimenadin. We don't give a punishment just because we have a kavachomer, just because it makes sense logically. And similarly, there's a rule, ain't unshimamen menadin. So as we said, that we're going to learn, if somebody causes damage, or his property causes damage, he's held responsible financially. So what are we saying? That even if the Torah wouldn't have mentioned all of these mazikin, we could have gotten to that through logic, but why isn't there a rule of ain't unshimam menadin? We can't obligate somebody to make somebody pay just because we came to that conclusion logically. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says that our Mishnah is not following that opinion, that indeed ain't unshimenadin, but mamin, unshimamenadin, we can come to that. The Prima Gadim says differently, because why is the halacha that ain't unshimenadin, that we don't give a punishment based on a kavachomer? Because what may happen is that we're going to have a kavachomer. Logically, we're going to come up with the reason to give this person a punishment. We'll give the person the punishment. And then it turns out that the kavachomer is refuted. And we already gave the punishment. It can't be turned back. But when we speak about financial obligations, so yes, through logic, we're going to make the person pay. And then we'll realize that the logic was faulty. And we won't make him. So we'll just give back the money. It could be paid back. Another pshat that I saw is that when we speak about punishment, even if the logic is very sound, and we need not be concerned that the logic will be refuted, but the Kavachoyma says that whatever is the oinish in one situation should also be the oinish in another situation. The problem with that approach is who says that that is enough of an oinish? Who says that that's enough of a punishment? Maybe this person deserves even more of a punishment. And therefore, we can't give a punishment unless we know that the person deserves a punishment. However, when it comes to mammon, we're not going to make the person pay more than he did damage. So since we're not going to be overly punishing the person, we could say, Einche mammon menadin. So says the Mishnah, Loi harei ashor kareya maver. The shor has a chumrah that maver doesn't have, and therefore, had the Torah only said the mazik of shor, we couldn't have learned maver from it. And furthermore, the loy harei mava kareya shor. If the Torah would have just said mava, we couldn't have learned shor from it. The loy v'zeh v'zeh, both shor and maver sheyesh ben ruchayim, they're both living things. If it's a human being, then an animal sheyesh, which is ain by ruchayim, it's not a living thing. The loy zeh v'zeh shetak and leilach lahazik. Shor, Mava, which we're saying is Adam, Eish, all are have the characteristic Shadak and Leil Chlazik. They go and do fire. They go and do damage. Where Eish ain't Dark Leil Chlazik, fire doesn't come, a bar is stationary. The person falls into the bar. I saw the Division to Rebbe says, Eish ain't by Ruach Chaim. He says, if you have fire, if somebody gets enthusiastic about doing a mitzvah, but it's ain't by Ruach Chaim, it doesn't come from internally, it's just outside, external, that's not real hisla havis. Says the Mishnah, what is a tzara shavish ben? What is the common denominator about of all the different mazikim that were mentioned in our Mishnah. Shadak and Lahazak, they do damage. Shmiras and Alecha, as we mentioned earlier, we are responsible to watch that what we own don't do damage. And Shehizak Chava Mazak Lashalim, if they do damage, the person is responsible to pay to Shlomei Nezek, the damages. He must pay the damages. Mimeitav Aretz, he has to pay from the Idyas. As we often will learn in Mitzvah Shem, there are three grades of property: Idyas, Beinonis, and Zaburius. If a person did damage and he has to pay from property. But the Rishonim make a very important point. The Rishonim actually say that really when somebody does damage, he should be paying kesef. He should be paying cash, money. The Mishnah is teaching us if the person is not paying cash, presumably because he doesn't have it, so he's paying mimeitav aretz, he's paying from property. When he's paying from property, then he should pay from mimeitav aretz, he should pay from the best. But that doesn't mean that's what should be paid l'chatchila. L'chatchila, one should pay always when he does damage, cash. So the Mishnah said, the fact that it has Ruach Chaim is more of a Chumrah. What is the Chumrah of the fact that something has Ruach Chaim? So the Shita Mekubetza says that something that has Ruach Chaim does damage on its own. Something that doesn't have Ruach Chaim requires something else, something or somebody else to create that situation. And therefore, it's not the same type of damage. So our Mishnah began with the word avis. Says the Marmidik Tani avis, because since our Mishnah used the word avis, Michlal Dekatoldus. Whenever the Mishnah uses the word avis, is an indication that there are toldus. Says the Mar to the same Kiyotz Ben, we're going to learn what are the toldus of the avis of our Mishnah. But Nigmar's first question is, how does the halacha look at those toldus? Does the halacha of the toldus of the Nezikin, the toldus of the Nezikin treated the same way as the Ovis Nezikin, alaf kiyotz ben, or are the toldus of the Nezikin not equivalent to them? Says the Gemara. Gabi Shabbos Tanan, we have the same halacha by Shabbos. The Mishnah Masech to Shabbos, that for Ayin Gimel Amin Aleph teaches us, Ovis Melachas Abayim Chasar Achas. There are 39 Ovis Melachas. And again, the obvious diuk is Ovis Mechlal Dika told us. That if they're Ovis, they are told us. What is the Halacha told us? Saying Kiyotz Ben, are they told us the same as the Ovis? Loish Na'av, if somebody Chas V'Shom is Mechal Shabbos by violating an Av, and he's Chayiv Kar Mechatas, Loish Na'av, told us, and the same thing if somebody violated Shabbos by violating a told is chayv chatas, that's b'shogig. Eloishna av, if somebody did av malacha b'mezer on Shabbos, he's chayv skila. Eloishna tolda, if he does a tolda, he's chayv skila. So the Gemara wants to know, my ikka, if this is av and this is a tolda, what is the dafkamina? Says the Gemara, the dafkamina is the ila of it of us. Bahadi Adodi, if somebody did two separate ovis, Behelem Echad, that means that he forgot today's Shabbos, and he did two different melachas that are ovis. Inamishte told us, Bahadi Adodi, if he did two toldus of two different ovis, again, he forgot it's Shabbos, and he did both of them, then the halacha is Mechayiv HaKol Chada V'Chada. However, if somebody did an av, if somebody violated an av and it's told up, then the halacha will be lemechayev al chada. He'll only be chayev one. So we're learning now that the only difference between an av and a told up is if you did an av and it's told up, you'll only be chayev one. So Taisus asks, why didn't the Gemara give a different nafkamina? The Gemara should have pointed out that when you do an av, before you do a melacha, in order to be punished for doing that melacha, you have to have asra. And the question is as follows. When you do an av malacha, so obviously you have to get hasra that you're about to do this av. By tolda, there are rishonim that hold so that you have to get the hasra not of the tolda that you're violating, but of the vad, of the av that you're violating. So Taisa says that from here we see clearly that if somebody is about to violate a tolda, you don't have to get hasra because of the av. You have to get hasra. Getting hasra for the tolda is enough. And actually, the Miches Chinuch says that the Rambam's opinion is that both by an av and a tolda, you don't really need to get hasra mentioning the av or the tolda. Miches Chinuch says that the Rambam's opinion is that as long as you tell the person that what you're doing represents a chilul Shabbos, without going into the detail, if it's Shabbos, what exact malach it is, it would also be considered an adequate hasra. So now ask the Gemara, so now we understand what's the av and the tolda regarding being punished. But ask the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Elazar, the Chayiv Tolda B'makom Av. Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that if somebody violated a tolda and it's av and it's tolda, Yechayiv twice, one for the av and one for the tolda. So we get back to our original question. Amai karle av, mai karle tolda. So what's the difference between an av and a tolda? Answers the Gemara. Hacht av b'mishkin chshiva karle av, hacht loy av chshiva karle tolda. So there's a number of ways of learning this Gemara. Some learn the Gemara to teach us that in order to be considered an av, you have to have two conditions meant. It had to be in the Mishkan, and not just that it was in the Mishkan, it also had to be chashiva. It had to be a significant act. So in other words, if you'll have something, that a malacha, that was done in the Mishkan, but it wasn't chashiv, then it wouldn't be an av. Others explain not that way. They explain hach to have a b'mishkan. If something was in the Mishkan, the fact that it was in the Mishkan is an indication that it's chashiv. And since it was in the Mishkan, it's an indication that it's chashiv. Doesn't make a difference of how serious or not serious the malacha is. The fact that it was in the Mishkan makes it into chashiv malacha. But there's a very interesting tshuva from the Chabina Rav in the Shas Tshuvas. In the Shas Tshuvas, Dovim Meshorim, Chela Gimel Samach Beis. He says, of course, one is never allowed to violate an Aveira. And of course, as we just learned in the Gemara, an Av and a Tolder are equivalent in Chiv Skila, equivalent in Chiv Chattis. But we know that under certain circumstances, a person sometimes has the right to be Mechal Shabbos in certain situations. If somebody has a right to be Mechal Shabbos, but he has a choice to violate it by violating an Av or violating a Tolda, the Shabina Rav wants to suggest that since our Gemara just said what makes a Av more significant than a Tolda, if you have a choice, you have no choice, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, you should preferably be Mechal Shabbos with the Tolda and not with the Av. There are those that disagree. Shabina Rav himself quotes his son, who says that there's no such an afkamina. Nana Gemara gives us another place where we see this concept of Avos and Toldos. Gabas Tumah Tanan, regarding Tumah, this Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, speaks about the Avos HaTumah. There's the Sheretz, one of the Shemoneh Sheratzim, that if somebody touches them, he becomes Tamei. His Shichva Zera, if semen exits somebody's body. Tamei Mace, if somebody touches a mace aviyav, is the Aviyah Avos HaTumah, and somebody who touches a mace becomes an Avos HaTumah. Toldosayim, says the Gemara, told us, we know whenever we speak about Tumah, we start with the highest level of Tumah, which, as we just said, is a mace. A mace is a via voisa Tumah. Everything else is an ava Tumah. If something comes in contact with an ava Tumah, becomes a rishon l'tuma. That's a told of the av. There, says the Gemara, clearly the halach is told the same lav ki yotz bem. The toldus of the avos atuma are not the same as the avos. Dila av atuma, the ilu av metame odom kelim. An av atuma has the ability to spread tuma to people and kelim. Ilu toldus only have the ability to spread tuma to oichler mashkin metame, but odom kelim loy metame. So what the Gemara says is we have two different precedent how to look at Ovis and Toldus. The example of Shabbos, where we have Ovis and Toldus, so the Ovis and Toldus are the same. The example are halachically treated the same. By Tuma, we clearly see that Ovis and Tumas are not treated the same. What is the halacha when we start learning now Masechet Bavam Kama, the Arba Ovis Nazikin? What will be the halacha by them? Hochamai. What is the halacha by Masechet Bava Kama? Says Rav Papa, yesh bem, under certain situation, by the Ovis Nazikin, ki yotz bem, they're the same, v'yesh behem, and in certain situations, lav ki yotz behem. So I saw that a beautiful pshat from Rav Chana Halperin from London. By Shabbos, if somebody is a Shomer Shabbos, so told the same kiyotz behem. If the Ovis are Shomer Shabbos, what will happen is that told the same kiyotz behem, he will have children that are also going to Baruch Hashem be Shomer Shabbos. But by Tumah, if Chas V'Sholem somebody is Tamei, we always have the ability to do tshuva, and therefore told the same lav kiyotz behem. And even if though somebody is Tamei, it doesn't mean that their children necessarily have to be Tamei. Says the Gemara, so in order to be able to understand what Reb Papa said, that in certain cases by Nezikin, Arba Ovis, the Toldos are like the Ovis, and in certain cases they're not like the Ovis, we have to identify in detail what are the Arba Ovis Nezikin. Tana Abana Sholosh Ovis Nemer Bishar. When we speak about Shor, as when we learned the Mishnah, there are three cases of a Shor Amazik. Keren, Shein, Regel. So first the Gemara wants to know Keren Nolan. From where do we know that Keren is a form of a Mazik? The Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Kigach Shor es Ish es Isha, Ein Negicha el Bekeren. And when the Torah uses the word Negicha, it means Keren. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Yasno et Tzidkiyo ben Kanana Karen Basel. The Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Tzidkiyo to make horns out of metal. For Yom Koyam Hashem, Be'elu Tanagich Hasadah Aram Ad Kaloisam. You will use this. Tzidkiyo was from the Nevi Abal, and he said Nevua to Achav and Yoshafet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put Aram, will let them prevail over Aram. And the Nevi'im, when they used to say Nevua, they would say it with a mashal, with an analogy. The Kenoi, and says the Gemara, Vaimer, and there's another pasuk, Bechar Shark Hodoloi, Vekane Reim Karnov, Behem Amnon Yanagav. Ask the Gemara, why was the first pasuk inadequate? My Vaimer, why was there a necessity to mention another pasuk? Vechitema, says the Gemara, because the first pasuk was a pasuk in Melochim. And maybe, Divrei Torah, Divrei Kapala, Lo Yalpinen. We can't learn a halacha deraisa. Abov's Nezikin, obviously, Alok of Nezikin. We can't learn Divrei Torah, but Divrei Kabbalah. So that's why the Gemara brings a pasuk from Chumash, B'chosha Nedavu. Ask the Gemara, Hay Melefu? When we brought the pasuk, ask the Gemara Melochim, it wasn't here to teach us a halacha. It was here to teach us a definition of the word. To use a pasuk in Nach to teach us the definition of a word, that isn't a problem. All we want to know is what is the definition of the word negicha, and the Gemara quoted a pasuk to teach us negicha b'kerenu. Answers the Gemara, Elmad etema, we might have thought, kipal grachmana bein tam bein muad. As we're going to learn, when it comes to the mazik of keren, if the animal did it the first three times, it's a tam, and they only pay chatzi nazik, half of the damages. There are other halachas that we're going to also learn, but this is one of the most important halachas. Mahani mili betelusha, when the animal was holding the horn in its mouth and it did damage. Aval mechuberes, but when it did damage where the animal was, where the horn was connected to the animal, maybe there we would say emakulam edesi. Even the first time it did damage in such a fashion, it's considered a mood and has to pay nezek shalom. Tashma b'chosha adaloi v'kanireim karnav, that here we're speaking about a horn that's attached. And we see from here that even a horn that's attached is considered a horn that is karen. So our Gemara has called Divrei Nevi'im Divrei Kabbalah. So why are they considered why Nevi'im called Divrei Kabbalah? So the Shita quotes the Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz. He says that what the Nevi'im were supposed to do were they were supposed to be kaibel. They were supposed to cry to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And since they were supposed to cry to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's why Nevi'im are called Divrei Kabbalah. Another Pshat that Aruch Haner says that all Nevi'im actually emanate from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why they were considered Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Ben Yoyada has a different Pshat. He says that Chazal teach us Kol HaNevi'im Nesnab B'Koy D'Ksiv Koy Omar Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu Nesnab B'Zeh D'Ksiv Zeh Adova HaChetziv Hashem. So the Dubna Magid explains that Maim Chazal. When Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the Dvar Hashem, it was Shechina Medaberes B'Toich Groinai. Shechina Medaberes B'Toich Groinai means that Moshe Rabbeinu's lips were moving, but it was Kava Yochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking. The other Nevi'im got a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they gave over what they heard. So that we understand. The Nevi'im are Divrei Kabbalah. It's only what they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but translated those words into what the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give. It wasn't exactly the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used. And since it wasn't the exact words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used, that's why it's called Divrei Kabbalah. So the Chassam Sofer, in the Chuvas Chassam Sofer, says that the halacha, the Gemara wanted to say, the Gemara said that only by horn that's detached does it have the leniencies of Tamamud, not by when it's attached. But he says, why would we say that? He says that there's a rule of Suffolk Mammon Lahakal. Whenever you have a question, there's an obligation to pay. We go Lakula. So why would we go Lachumra if we could go Lakula? So he says, that's only if we want to determine, Chassam Sofer says, if something is considered a mazik or not. But once we know that something is a mazik, we don't have a right to say we're just going to go Lakula. Tolda the Karen Mahi. So now we establish that Karen is one of the others. Shor. What is the Tolda of Karen? Says the Gemara in the Gifa, if the animal pushed something with its body, the Shicha Revitza, it saw something and it sat on, it walked on it, it sat on it, it bit it, ubiita, or it kicked it. Says the Gemara, Mashnot Negicha the Karli Av, why are we calling Negicha an Av? The Ksiv, because the Torah uses the words, Ki Yigach Sharis Ish Isha. So ask the Gemara, if that's the barometer, the Gifa Namiksiv, the Pasuk says, Ki Yigach Shar Ish as Shar Eyu. Says the Gemara, Hai Negifa, when the Torah says the word Negifa in that Pasuk, it really means Negicha. How do we know that? The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Pasuk bin Negifa, the Pasuk began with the word Negifa, Vesayim, but it ends with the word Negicha. Loi Malach, Hi Negifa, Hi Negicha. Negifa and Negicha are the same. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Gabe Odom, why when the Torah speaks about the shor that hitting a person, does the Torah use the word ki'igach? Or maishna gabe behema, the ksiv ki'igach? Answer the Gemara, Adam, the Isloi mazla, a person has a mazl, therefore, ksiv ki'igach. That means, negifa means a deliberate act of damage. A person on his own would watch himself. The only way it becomes difficult for a person to watch himself is the animal deliberately went to harm him. That becomes impossible to watch itself. Behemoth, but an animal doesn't have that intelligence, the less lemazel, so therefore kigayf. Even when the animal did not have intention to do damage, it's still going to be considered an act of negifa because the animal doesn't have the ability, the animal doesn't have the intelligence to watch itself. So I saw that Rav Chaim Berlin in his Sefer Nishmas Chaim says that the minig is that we give when a rav becomes a rav of a community, it gets a job. They say Mazel Tov. Why do we say Mazel Tov? He says because what is the primary obligation of a rav? The obligation of a rav is to make sure that the people in his community do what they're supposed to do, not do what they're not supposed to do. What does that take? Intelligence. And we're saying now, Rashi says, that what is the definition of Adam Islay Mazlo? That the person has intelligence. And therefore, if a person has the intelligence, that's why we wish the Rav, you should have the intelligence to know how to lead your community. Another pshat that I saw is that Adam Islay Mazlo, the Rishonim say, is that a person has a malach. Every person has a malach who watches him. Since every individual has a malach who watches him, the shor can't just do damage. The shor can't just do damage like it wants to do because the malach protects him. Animals don't have mazel, which opens up an interesting discussion. On one hand, we know a mazel Yisrael, the Klai Yisrael are not affected by mazel. And on the other hand, we know that the Medrash says that the kol esav, every blade of grass has a mazel to tell it to grow or not to grow. So Reb Tzadik explains that there are different levels of mazik. The mazel of a piece of grass is that the mazel tells it to live and grow in a normal fashion. But the mazel does not go into such depth. The mazel of a person is a much more involved mazel. I am mazel Yisrael. So we've discussed this at the end of Masechta Kedushin, and we learned that am mazel Yisrael means that under normal circumstances, that Klai Yisrael through Zchusim and Klai Yisrael through Torah can overcome even a bad mazel. Umil Saga Vercha Kamashmon teaches us the Gemara, Mel Saga Vercha, the Mu'ud Le Adam, and Mu'ud Le Behema, will have a Mu'ud Le Adam. As we just finished explaining, it's much more complicated to do Hezek to a person than to an animal. So if we see that an animal did damage to a person three times, that's clearly an indication that this animal is a mu'ud. And therefore, if it'll do damage to an animal, it'll be chayiv nezek shalim. On the other hand, if an animal did damage to an animal, which it's easier to be the victim of damage, that doesn't make it three times. That doesn't make it a mu'ud as far as doing damages to human beings. So we learned before that the Gemara said Neshicha, Visa, and Bita are all toldos of Karen. Ask the Gemara, Neshicha biting, it should be told of the Shein. We said when we learned the Mishnah in the Gemara that Shein is when the animal eats. So isn't Neshicha part of Shein? Says the Gemara Loi. Shein yesh hanol lezeka. By Shein, the animal eats and enjoys what it's eating. Ha, en hanol lezeka, it doesn't have hanol. Ravitzu Bita told of the regal he. Asked the Gemara, we said that one of the others is regal. So why are Ravitzu and Bita, which are done with the foot, not a told the regal? Says the Gemara Loi. Regal hazeik imotzi. Regal means when the animal is walking. Animals walk all of the time. Hani, Ravitzu and Bita, is not something that the animal does all of the time. Says the Gemara, El Kadoseim, Lav, Kiyotz, Ben Dahama, Rapapa Hai. So now the Gemara has identified Karen very well. And we said that there are others of Karen and told us of Karen. But the reason we got into this discussion, says the Gemara, is because the Gemara says sometimes told the same Kiyotz Mem and sometimes not. Is this the case where the told and the Karen would be the same? Ilay Mahani, are you going to say it's by Karen? That doesn't make sense. Maishno Karen, why is an animal? Why are we responsible when our animal does Karen? The Kavanasan Hazak, it intended to do damage. It belongs to a person and he's obligated to watch it. So ask the Gemara Hani Nami, all of these characteristics apply by the toldos of Karen as well. Kavanasa lahazik, umana mishiras alecha. Says the Gemara, El Tolda de Karen ke Karen. Karen is not where Rapapa said the Telda and the Karen and the other not the same. So ki kama Rapapa, says the Gemara wants to suggest at this moment, where did Rapapa say that the Tolda Seim laf ki yotzvehen? Suggests the Gemara is a Tolda Shem v'regel. By Tolda Shem v'regel, the Gemara is suggesting that's where Rapapa perhaps said that the Toldas are not the same as the others.